Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
I've just been praying, and you guys, a few of you kept saying this, you're just talking to us, you're just talking to us. And John and I were talking yesterday, like, I truly feel like we are blessed with the most amazing people in our lives. And it is an honor, and it's easy to be with y'all because you truly are family to us. So I'm looking forward to it today. I'm going to get started, and I do have some stories to share. They're unfortunately not about Gabriel, but Gabriel and I were talking, and, you know, God speaks to Moses through a burning bush, and he speaks to Gabriel in sermons. And I was like, Gabriel, when you asked me to preach, like, God literally talks to me like in a sentence or like a verse. Like, how am I going to make this a sermon? And would you know that God gave me this message months ago, but it was through a wasp. Okay. And so I'm going to kind of give you the story of it. I was sitting at a red light in my car, and on the outside of my windshield, a wasp just landed on it. And that's when the Lord spoke this message to me. And so I'm going to give you a little backstory to this. If you know me or don't know me, you may or may not know that I am allergic to wasps. So I don't like bugs anyway. But if a wasp flies around me, I will literally freak out. Like, I will run. I will scream. I will hide. I will do a dance. I might cuss. I might. I mean, that's how afraid I am of a wasp. Okay. But anyway, so when Gabriel and I first got married, we lived in Auburn, and I was outside, and I got stung by a wasp on my thigh, and it got huge and swollen, and it hurt, but no big deal. Well, unfortunately, 2 days later, I got stung again in the arm, and my arm, I mean, y'all, I look like Popeye. Like, it was huge. Like, my t-shirts wouldn't fit. My arm was so big. But right after I got stung, Gabriel and I were going somewhere, and I got in the car. And I'm like, it hurts. And then I start freaking out. I really was having an anaphylactic reaction. I'm sitting in the air conditioner, like, blowing out of the car, like, trying to breathe. And Gabriel's like, Perry, would you please just relax? Like, it's just a wasp sting. It's going to sting for a little while. Just calm down. And I'm like, Gabriel, I can't breathe. And he was like, yes, you can. You will be able to if you stop freaking out. And I'm like, no, my throat's closing in. I can't breathe. Well, after I finally get him to believe me, and he whips the car around, and he said, I'm just going to take you home. Well, it started closing up more and more. He called 911. He said, hold on. You stay in the car. I'm going to go open the door to the house, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to carry you in. That's probably about the last thing I remember. But I apparently tried to get out of the car and fell and passed out and had a seizure on the ground and all this stuff. And I wake up to paramedics in my house. Obviously, I'm alive, so I lived. but anyway, so you can see the story of why I'm terrified of wasps. I've never gotten stung since. I don't want to, but I freak out. So whenever I was in the car, back to recently, a couple months ago, whenever I was in the car and the wasp landed on my windshield outside my car, I looked at it and I thought, now if I were on the outside of this car, I would be freaking out. I would be running up and down this road. I would be running away. I'd be screaming. But when I'm in the car with the windows up, I'm not afraid. And the Lord immediately spoke to me and he said, that's how I want you to be with me. He said, I want you to be under my covering. I want you to be in my shelter. I want you to see the enemy and know that he's dangerous, but you have nothing to fear when you're with me. But if you're outside of this car, he has access to you. You know, if you're outside of my presence, he has access to you. And so then after that, the Lord reminded me of the verse, and my whole message is really going to be out of this verse. I'm going to throw some more in there, but this is the crux of it. My message is simple. That's the way God talks to me. And so don't be afraid of the simple. God can speak to you in many different ways. But this is a verse. So it's Psalms 91, 1 and 2, and we're going to start there. And it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. The beginning of that verse, so I've heard that verse a million times, and some of you may or may not have, but I automatically think of the safety and the refuge and the shelter and God protecting us. but I've never thought about the very beginning, whoever dwells in the shelter. That's my part. That's my part. That's not his part. That's my part. And so I looked up the word dwell, and it means to reside, it means to live, and it means to be settled. So when I'm dwelling somewhere, I'm not visiting there occasionally. I'm not checking in. I'm not coming and going. I'm constantly there. I'm dwelling there. So am I really dwelling in the shelter of the Most High? Or am I just visiting there every so often? So then, whenever the Lord was just kind of mulling this over with me, I was like, well, why do we need to dwell? When we look at this verse, it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest. And so the first reason why we need to dwell with him is to rest. This is an area where I struggle, and I think that's why God's been speaking this to me, and I feel like he wants me to share with you. But I struggle with rest. And so when I was thinking about rest, I was thinking, where do you find the most rest? And I want you to think about that. Where do you find the most rest? Recently, Gabriel and I went on kind of a back-to-back vacation. We went to see my grandparents who live in Florida, and we stayed in a hotel when we were visiting them. And then we went on a cruise. And on the cruise, Gabriel and I, we rested. We slept. We took naps every single day. We stayed up late. We got up early. We did fun stuff, but we rested. We rested on the beach. We rested in our room. We rested in the lounge chairs by the pool, but we slept. But after our week was over, and I'm sure some of you do this too, we finally pulled up into the garage and we walked in our house. We said, it feels so good to be home. And it does. Like, it feels good to be home. That's where we find the most physical rest, in our home. And so I want you to kind of picture that while you're thinking about spiritually resting. But I also lived in a home in Mobile one time, and that rest was taken from me. And I don't know if you've ever had that. Sometimes you might associate a place that used to bring comfort or rest, and something bad might have happened, and all of a sudden your rest has been taken from you. Or maybe you got a doctor's report and your rest was taken from you. Well, we lived in a house in Mobile, and I found rest there, but I'm not going to share the whole story. But during the night, one night, we did have an intruder that came while we were there. And after that instance, I never wanted to go home. I didn't want to go home without Gabriel being there. I didn't want to go home after work. And then at night when we would, you know, when you look forward to finally getting in bed and going to sleep, I couldn't sleep because I was just afraid that somebody was going to come in. And turns out we knew who the intruder was, and he would show up when I was at home by myself. And just, it was weird things. But anyway, I felt my rest being taken from me. And so I want you to think, Have you let an intruder in? Have you left a place in your life where the door is unlocked? Have you opened the door to the enemy in some way so that your rest has been taken from you? The Lord values rest even from the beginning of creation. He worked 6 days, and then the last day he rested. So he set the example for us even then. When I also think of rest, I also think of peace. Some people need to find peace or rest in your mind. It's not just in your physical body, but I mean, it could be in your physical body. It could be in your mind. It could be in your family. You feel that your family's not at rest. It may be in your finances. It may be in your job. But wherever you need that rest, I want you to remember, we're going to keep going back to it, it's when you're dwelling with him. It's when you're dwelling in his presence. It's when you're in his shelter. So the Lord cares about this part of your life. So we're going to read Matthew 11, 28 and 29. And it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Stop right there just a second. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Sometimes when you get emotionally, you know, wound up, or your mind, you can't let your mind stop thinking, as Colt would say, my mind just can't stop thinking, or you're anxious about things, he wants to give you rest. He says, come to me. He's reminding us, come dwell with me. Come back to my shelter. I'm going to give you rest. Take, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And there's a message version I want to read to you too. It kind of puts it in different words. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life." Like, you will recover your life. "I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly." I like the part where it says, "I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you." And when you think of a yoke, you don't think freedom or rest. But when I think of a yoke with the Lord, it's like he puts something on us, and he's steering us in the right direction, and it's the perfect fit for us. So many times in life, I put things on my back that I think are a perfect fit for me, but it becomes heavy, and it makes me tired, and it makes me worn out and burned out. But God says, "Look, I want to put this on you, and I'm right here with you. I'm right here. I'm hauling the load with you. I'm right here with you, but this is a perfect fit for you." Yeah, you may not always think it's a perfect fit for you, but he's right there doing it with me. So my yoke is easy, and my burden is light, and you're going to live freely. So I feel like even with that, you're working, right? If you've got a yoke and you've got a load, you're working. But in that work, you're still finding rest. And I said in here too, like, if the enemy can keep you from rest, when you're not rested, you feel weak, you feel tired. And this is the next point of my sermon, is you can't fight. When you don't have rest, you're weak and you're tired and you're not ready for the fight. So if we go back to Psalms 91, the main verse, in verse 2, it says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And God's speaking rest, 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 rest to me. And then he starts saying fight, fight, fight. And I'm like, rest and fight. Like, those two things are opposites of each other, but they're not. But they're both what we're called to do, and they're both in that same verse. So when you think about a refuge and a fortress, I think strong, sturdy. Why do you need a refuge? Why do you need a fortress? Because the enemy's out there. He's coming. There's a battle going on, and we're in a fight. So in Psalms 91, 3 and 4, this is a message verse, and this is the next two verses. It says, "You who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in the Shaddai's shadow. Say this, God, you are my refuge. I trust in you and I am safe." That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you are perfectly safe. I think about this. I've got the most incredible ladies in my life right now. We're doing a small group, and we're reading a book called Fervent. And when we've been reading this book, it's talking about, like, identifying the strategies of the devil, you know, and recognizing him and realizing that he is attacking us in different areas. And over and over and over in the scripture, the Lord reminds us that there's an enemy out there. And that verse says he set hidden traps out there. The devil, I tell my kids and my family this all the time, the devil does not play fair. He's not always dangling something in front of you that you can see and notice and recognize all the time. But when you're dwelling with him, God's right there with his huge outstretched arms and saying, "Watch out for that trap. Watch out, he's there, he's about to get you. Watch out, I'm protecting you." But he's letting you know ahead of time. But if you're not in that shelter, if you're outside of the car with the wasp, you're exposed. You don't know where the traps are. And so that's why it's so important to stay in the shelter for the fight. I was thinking too, like, the devil in our book too, if he can't get in one way, he's going to try another. So he wants you. If he can't get you, he's going to go for your marriage. If he can't get your marriage, he's going to get your kids. If he can't get your kids, he's going to attack your finances. He's going to try to attack your health. He's going to just keep until he finds a breaking point. But if we're steady in the shelter, if we're dwelling with him, we have nothing to fear. So that wasp could have tried to get in my front window, my back window. It doesn't matter. I'm with him. I'm ready for the fight. So I wanted to show you this picture. I think they're going to have to turn down the lights a little bit for this. So Colt has got to be in every sermon, doesn't he? Bless his soul. He was probably 3 or 4 at this time, and he was at Carrie was having a birthday party. I can't remember for which daughter, but anyway, so at this birthday party, they brought all these different reptiles for the kids to hold and pet and touch. Well, I have no idea what kind of snake this is. I can't remember, but Colt did not want to participate in this thing where they lined all the kids up and they stretched out this snake. And me being the wonderful mother that I am, would I have ever held that snake? Heck no, I would not have. But I was like, Colt, everybody's participating. You need to get on up there, you know. And so so Colt reluctantly lines up, and he's holding, they're all holding this snake. Well, sweet little Ellie was holding the tail, but she let go of it. And when it did, that snake coiled around Colt's leg. Well, in the picture, you can't see it, but Colt looked at me with the most terrified look on his face. And again, being the wonderful mother that I am, I was like, oh, Colt, you don't have anything to worry about. That snake is just trying to hug you. And so he held the snake or whatever. Well, after it was all said and done afterwards, he came up to me and he said, Mom, I know that snake was not trying to hug me. That snake was trying to take me down. So anyway, but my mom sent me that picture and reminded me of that. But how true is that? The enemy wants to coil around you, maybe in just one area of your life. And you think, oh, it's not a big deal. He's not really going to hurt me. He's just trying to hug me. But in reality, the enemy's trying to take you down. He is trying to take you down. Last week, the Lord just quickened to my spirit just something I needed to take out of my life. And to all of you, you might would like roll your eyes and be like, it's not a big deal. But the Lord warned me. He said, this is an area that the enemy's trying to take you down. Just take this out of your life. And guys, if it was easy, if it wasn't hard to do it, then why wouldn't you just do it? Do you know what I mean? But when it's hard and the Lord's telling you, let it go, because it's just going to get harder. The enemy's going to steadily wrap and wrap and wrap himself around you until he gets you down. Another thing in life, a lot of times we blame our circumstances or people around us or situations or things that have happened, but we never identify the snake. It's not Gabriel when we're having an argument. It's the enemy. There's a strategy going on the whole time to put dissension between us. And it's not this issue that happened. It's not even your past. It's not circumstances or consequences from your past that are pulling you down. It's the enemy trying to bring shame and condemnation so that you never push forward and use your past as a weapon for your future. So just recognize the enemy. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So it's not against each other. It's not on social media. It's not the president. It's not, you know, the races. It's not the money. It's not against flesh and blood. It's not against each other, but it's against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's time we recognize the enemy. So this is kind of funny. So when I was in college, I took a lot of electives, and all the electives that I took were like, I took a weightlifting class, I took softball, I took tennis. I didn't take anything to make my brain smarter. Like, I took all like the fun stuff. Well, one time I took karate, and that was really hilarious because I couldn't be serious enough. And so, but anyway, I took karate, but in this karate class, they taught me some self-defense moves. But the first thing they told me, they said, before you ever like pull a move on somebody, like if you feel like you're in a parking lot or somewhere and someone is watching you or following you, they said, do not like run away. Don't hold your head down. They said, you stand up straight. You look at them in the face, make eye contact with them, and you say, can I help you? Or I know you're following me, or do you need something? But you let them know that you're aware that they're there, and don't look. They want someone that looks weak or timid or scared or afraid. But if you bow up your shoulders, stand up straight, and make eye contact with them, a lot of times they will, you know, go a different way. And so this is kind of where God has just been stirring up the fight in me, you guys. I am ready to look the enemy face on and say, look, I see you. I know that you're there, and I'm not afraid of you. Like, I know your tactic. I see you attacking my family, and I've had enough. I've had enough. Like, I'm not the strongest person in the world, but this girl's got some fight. And I want you to get the rest, and I want you to get fight in you too. The Lord, I'm going to go back. So I read the verse about our struggle is not against flesh and blood. But if you actually go back two verses before, in Ephesians 6, 10, and 11, he tells us what to do. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Where do we find the Lord? In the shelter we're dwelling with him. And in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God. Where's the armor of God? He's got it for us in his presence, in the shelter. Put on the full armor so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You remember that yoke? That's also armor. He's got armor that's protecting us so that when we walk out in the fight, we have nothing to fear. We've got the armor that perfectly fits us. You can keep going, John. So I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. We're not quite there yet. Sorry, I skipped ahead. So anyway, so we've got the armor on. Sorry. So now the Lord's been telling me, okay, you've looked at the enemy face on. You've made eye contact. You said, I know that you're there. So now what? So I've been guilty of doing that, calling the enemy out, but then I stop there. Well, now's the time to fight. So we can't just say, hey, devil, I see you there. I know that you're there. Well, now's the time to fight. So how do we fight? Our fight is through prayer and, again, dwelling in the presence of the Lord. And it sounds so simple, but yet that's an area I struggle with. I try to do it on my own, or I panic, or I crumble. But if I just am dwelling in the presence of the Lord, his huge outstretched arms are there to fight with me. So to find true rest and to find the most strength for the fight, we have to live there. Again, guys, it's not enough to come here on a Sunday. It's not enough to pray over your food. It's not enough to say bedtime prayers. But when it comes down to it, when you really feel the enemy attacking, or when you feel anxious or worried or not having rest, that's the time to fight. It may be smack in the middle of your day. It could be at work. It could be when you wake up in the morning. It could be when you can't rest, when you're going to sleep at night. That's when we fight the enemy. So in our small group, we've been talking a little bit about this too. In Psalm 91:2, we're going to go back to that. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. It doesn't say I thought of the Lord or I heard about the Lord, but I will say of the Lord. And there's power in your words. And you may be thinking, yes, God hears my prayers and or my thoughts. You know, like you can think a prayer and God does hear that. But he also created your mouth, and he loves to hear you speak to him out loud. And God, again, if you go back to creation, what did he do? He spoke it into existence. He could have thought it into existence. He could have snapped his finger, but he used his words. He spoke it into existence. And so this is the stretch for me, is to start saying things out loud. I've been trying to do this, and to be honest with you, I'm still kind of at the awkward stage. It's kind of awkward, like if you're in your house with your kids and your husband and you start saying things out loud, like prayers or telling the enemy, no, I see your tactic. You're not getting me there. Like, you kind of feel weird. But boy, oh boy, like when I do it, it gives me strength. Like, I can feel like, okay, I'm ready to fight. So I was thinking about when you speak things out loud, like who are you talking to? Well, obviously you might be talking to the Lord, right? If you're praying. But guess who else needs to hear it? You do. Your spirit. You have ears. Your spirit needs to hear yourself say things, to speak things that aren't as though they were. And you know who else needs to hear it? The enemy. The enemy needs to hear it. The enemy can't hear your thoughts, but the enemy can hear your voice. And the Bible says that every knee and every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. That includes the devil. He has no power when we use the name of Jesus. And so in just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to stand up, and we're going to actually practice this today. And I'm going to ask you to say, it's a prayer, and I'm not going to ask you to think of it. It's going to be on the screen. But in closing, I want us together to find rest and to find a fight. And we're going to practice it by saying these words out loud. And when I ask you to do it, I want you to say it not in a way that's insecure and weak and timid, but I want you to say it as though you're looking at the enemy face to face and you're making eye contact with him. And whatever that enemy is right now, it's the devil, but whatever the physical revelation of that is, whether it's your health or whether it's your marriage you're fighting for, whether it's fear or anxiety or depression, whether it's forgiveness or bitterness, whatever the enemy is using today to steal your rest and to make you weak and not fight, I want you to visualize that. So I want you to say this prayer in a voice that's got fight, whether you feel like it or not. Whether you feel like it or not, this is going to be step one of getting into the presence of God, dwelling there. On the back of your notes, too, I have the scripture. And something I do at my house, this is, I guess, a teacher coming out of me, but I'll put scriptures on my bathroom mirror. There's several of them there, but you can put them on your fridge or in your car or whatever. But just to remind you to be with God, just to dwell with him. So if you'll just stand on your feet, we're going to say this together. I'm going to kind of lead it, but I just want us all to read it together. And I want you to, in your mind, know that you're saying this to God. This is a prayer, a call to God. And this is also, you're telling yourself, your spirit man, to get up and to fight and to have rest and have peace. And you're also saying it to the enemy. So let's say this together. Ready? God, you have said that I am the head and not the tail. I am more than a conqueror through you. I choose today to find rest in you. I am not afraid of the enemy. I will fight when I see him coming. I am strong and brave. The enemy does not have any power over me when I am dwelling with you. You have equipped me to win this fight. You have sent your angels to surround me and my family. You are on my side. Amen. I want you to claim that and believe it. Believe it. That whole thing is scripture. It's scripture. What we said, every bit of that is true. It's true. God has already said it about you. And as I close today, the prayer people can come. But the beautiful thing about a family is sometimes when you're feeling weak, you need somebody to fight with you. And that's what we're here for. I want you to find the fight all by yourself with the Lord. I really do. But this is a time when we find the fight with each other, or we help each other find the rest. And so sometimes you may need somebody to fight with you. Or maybe there's somebody in your family or friends that don't know how to fight. They're weak. They're tired. They're not in the shelter of the Most High. Guess what? You can fight for them. That's the thing, is when you're in the presence of God and when you're praying, God sends his angels. He can fight for them. Also, you may be somebody that has never been in the presence. You don't know the Lord, or you're not even dwelling there now. And you're like, I want to be in the presence of God. Like, I want him on my side. And so this may be for you. This may just be the first thing. I've never even been there. Or maybe you're the person that said, I visited there, but I want to dwell in his presence. So if you need prayer, they're going to sing and close out. But I just hope that encourages you. I hope that you can take something today to find rest and to find a fight.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.